Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. It's a dream come true for me, and it's probably at least like a dream come true for you. I can see how that would work. That's what my groupies tell me all the time. You're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got our good friend Deborah Fine back on the show. Deborah is one of the top communications experts in the galaxy. And she's a very important voice in the world of getting your message across, conveying what you have to say, and are the ideas that you have, or getting people, other people, to see your way of thinking in a way that makes them happy about that. And she's can pull it off. She's been helping us do it for some time now. She's the author of The Fine Art of Small Talk, and she's our good friend Deborah Fine. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks much. Yeah, it's great to be on your program.
It's always an honor. It's always a pleasure to have you back. It is like a dream come true, isn't it, Deborah?
Well, it's a dream come true, except for the problem that my baseball team lost at midnight in a freezing cold. Otherwise, it would be being with you warms me up.
Well, I'm going to try to cheer you up on that. Is it over? I haven't been keeping up.
Is the series over? Yeah. No. Is the game over? It ended after midnight.
I know the game's over, but I mean, I haven't been keeping up. I'm afraid I'm not as much of a baseball fan as I used to be.
Okay, well, and you have to be from Colorado to care about a game that's, you know, in freezing temperatures.
Right.
Midnight, so. But I'm not in Colorado, I'm in Chicago, so it's great to talk to you. And
another great baseball town, great history, maybe not such great tradition. I mean,
well,
great champions.
Well, they ran the Chicago Marathon here yesterday, and they had over
You did?
No, I did not. But they had over 40,000 people here running it, and that was in record cold temperatures. So,
right.
Just like our economy, Jim.
I used to live near Chicago. It can get cold up there.
Oh, well, it's that lake.
Yeah, it's the lake thing. Yeah, I lived on the east side of the lake, and we got that lake effect snow.
But it's sure a pretty city, and it's great to be here. It's you know, people are just so down to earth here, and
yep.
So, but it's such a beautiful, big, historic city, and you know, I've read so many books about Chicago. It's just great to see the parks.
Chicago is a great city. A lot of great things to do there. So Deborah,
yes.
Talk to us about how things have changed in 2009 with regard to getting our message out there, letting people know what we have on our mind, what we've got to say, what we have to offer. Whether it be to do business or to land a job, how have things changed in 2009? How are they going to change as we move forward? I'm telling my audience that I think where we're going is going to look a lot different from where we've been. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's going to look a lot different than where we've been. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I do know a couple of things are going to be really important, especially for those out there that are entrepreneurial. Those out there that are not absolutely certain of that they'll hold on to their job tomorrow, you know, where there's no guarantees.
Yeah.
And a couple of things are, number one, I think social networking has just taken over. Would you agree with that, Jim?
I do. And of course, there are a lot of different terms. Social networking is one. Social media is another one.
Okay.
I prefer the term online communities.
Right.
I think that's more accurate, but I'm the only one who says that. I'm apparently the only one who gets that, Deborah. But that happens to me a lot. I'm often out here in my own world. But online communities, and the reason I say that, and again, my audience is rolling their eyes, Deborah, because they know what I'm about to say.
Right.
But I think long after we've quit talking about social networking or social media or Twitter or Facebook, when we quit talking about those things, you and I are still going to be building online communities.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And so whether Twitter stays around or Ping or any of those is you're right, irrelevant.
Yeah.
What's relevant is that we build and connect via the resources available to us. And I think it's really important. I don't know what you think, Jim, but LinkedIn, and I don't work for the company or anything like that, but they've become the new business card.
They have become a very important. What I like about LinkedIn is that they are not confused about who they are and what they do.
Right.
See, and that's the thing about Twitter. Twitter is a very interesting phenomenon. And
right.
And some people are using it extremely well to their advantage, but Twitter isn't completely sure who it serves and how it's to serve things. I mean, and I think that's up to the eye of the beholder. But there's one thing about LinkedIn. LinkedIn is for professionals.
Right. It's absolutely for professionals, and it stays professional. Facebook, you know, people are playing with a bit. I even tried myself to keep it professional, and I'm finding it harder and harder to keep it strictly professional.
Right.
But, yes, it's not only professional, Jim, but more and more through experiences that I've shared with people that I've worked with, clients, people in my own family, people are being asked for a LinkedIn profile when they are being considered as a candidate
right.
to be brought in for an interview. And if that doesn't say everything that you should get on LinkedIn and get your profile taken care of, I don't know what does.
Well, think about this. I mean, there was a time when I remember when in the last, say, 15 years, almost 15 years, maybe 10 or so years.
Right.
If you applied for a job and you didn't give somebody an email address,
right.
You know, from say about 10 years ago to not too long ago, I mean, if you didn't have an email address, you were considered not really employable.
Right.
In my opinion.
Well, at least you weren't considered the one they called to bring in for an interview.
But, if you were driving a truck, that's one thing. But
right.
if you're going to be doing anything, you know, in an office or anything like that, you know, without any. I mean, I actually know people who try to get me to help them with their resume, friends, you know, friends of a friend, so to speak. And I looked at their resume and I said, where's your email address? And they said, I don't have one. I said, well, you're not going to get a job.
Right.
With this resume without an email address. And so you just can't do that. And so what you're saying is the next level now, the next degree of separation, so to speak, is the LinkedIn.
And not just when you're looking for an opportunity, but just recently I got back from Asia about less than 2 weeks ago, and I had scheduled to work launching my books in Vietnam there. But I chose to market myself into Bangkok since I was going to be, quote-unquote, in their part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I had worked there in the past, so I went to LinkedIn to market myself in for another job in Bangkok to make it more worthwhile to make that 24-hour airline
right.
trip.
And
right. it worked. And
wow.
it worked. On the other side of the coin, my son interviewed, before he interviewed for a job last year when he was looking, they asked, Twitter was the company of all
right.
things that he applied to, and they wanted his LinkedIn profile.
Right. Hold on to that thought. Deborah Fine is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm your host. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
End of the tunnel. I see it burning red. It don't matter
Welcome back. It's 23 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. We built it just for you so you can find what you need to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Lots of things you can do there. You can listen. You can read. You can ask questions. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic under the Small Business Sun. We got something right there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. And I also have a LinkedIn account, like Deborah Fine and I are talking about. Deborah is our good friend and our guest, the author of The Fine Art of Small Talk. Deborah, give us your website. Tell us how we can find you.
DeborahFine.com, D-E-B-R-A.
DeborahFine.com. And she is fine, too, ladies and gentlemen,
as you
can tell. Deborah, we're talking about social networking, which isn't that, like, redundant, the term social networking?
It's funny.
See,
right.
See, Deborah, if you didn't already know this, I'm a heretic. I'm a heretic by nature, but in practice, a heretic is someone who's a true believer who just isn't happy with the status quo. And also has a tinge of troublemaker in him, you know, and that's me. And so I'm the guy who's looking at these things and kind of making fun of things a little bit, even while I'm practicing some of this stuff myself. But but you know, a lot of people say social networking, and I'm thinking, isn't that redundant?
That is adorable. I'm sorry to say that it slipped right by me. I just let him throw the words at me.
But you got to be a heretic to pick up on these things. You got to be a little bit, have at least one or two screws loose to pick up on this, Deborah. And why else would anybody be a talk show host also?
Yeah, I suppose, Deborah. And be so darn good at it.
Deborah, so is LinkedIn your favorite because it's a professional thing?
Well, I don't want to. Twitter is.
I don't own any stock either,
too,
by the way.
But,
I don't own any other stock.
But it's not that it's my favorite so much as it's my favorite for professional connections. Yes.
Yeah.
And I would say that a lot of people would tell you, and I would tend to agree with them, that Facebook is a great way to stay connected with friends and family from afar. If you have grandchildren, I don't.
Uh-huh.
And I think most of your grandchildren are right there with you. But a lot of people, they have grandchildren all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
I have a daughter overseas now. I get to see pictures all the time by being on Facebook.
Where's your daughter?
She happens to be in Vietnam as well. She's
mm-hmm.
volunteering at an orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I get to see the updates before, you know, emailing her, begging her, come on, Sarah, get me this stuff. You know, I just look at her Facebook page,
uh-huh.
whatever, at least the part that's not restricted from me. But
well,
you get
a kick out of this. I was on Facebook not too many weeks ago, and I don't spend a lot of time there, but I just happened to be there one night. I had my laptop in my recliner with me and, you know, hugging up there.
Now that's social network.
I was on Facebook, and I had not been able to get my children, my son and my daughter, on the phone in the last couple of days or so. But as it turns out, they were both chatting.
Really?
You got the little chat bar down
right.
there. And so I went down, and I started chatting with them. We had a great conversation.
Isn't that great?
I don't think they would have said all that to me on the phone.
That is a really interesting comment, because I think that's the case for a lot of us. But that's why I say, who has a favorite? I mean, that's got to be a favorite experience.
Right.
You're going to do it again. You're going to look to see if they're on again, right?
Right.
And Facebook serves a lot of wonderful
I've purposes. Noticed that they're not on as much now that they know I know how to find them.
Oh, really?
I think maybe they're hiding on. They're going.
Well, you know, there is a way to block that.
They're going. I think they blocked me, Deborah.
Yeah.
I hate to
I'm
say
sorry,
that, but I think
Jim,
so.
No, it happens all the time.
So let me ask you a question, though. Now, you're a communication expert.
Right.
With all this social networking, what has happened to face-to-face? Have we lost the ability to have face-to-face meetings? And have us older guys forgotten stuff that the younger kids haven't learned about face-to-face?
That's part of it, but I don't want to, you know, that just sounds a little too... You know how our parents talk to us about rock and roll or something, you know, like look what the internet's doing to you,
yeah.
generation.
But seriously, isn't there a place, though, for face-to-face?
There is a place for face-to-face, and I think the most important thing to remember is that the you know, social networking is a key ingredient to success, both business, you know, in business especially now. You have to have a presence out there.
No question.
You have to know how to use it and to leverage it, et cetera. But if you use it as an excuse not to go to an association event,
right.
not to go to a chamber awards dinner,
mm-hmm.
or that because you think you're connected, well, that's, you know, being connected to those people isn't the same thing as being connected. It's just like they...
Now you're sounding like me, though, Deborah.
I know. Well, the fact is that, you know, you just stay connected to your kids on Facebook, that they're not going to be at your hospital bed.
Right.
That's a little different. You know, you can't keep your laptop on your tummy while you're in the
exactly.
hospital room. It's not the same thing. So the same thing goes for asking for a sale. I mean, you can do it, but it's face-to-face is key to really enhancing relationships and feeling connected with people. And what goes on out there in social networking that's almost too easy is people are willing to say things online, for instance, to their boss that they're not willing to say,
right.
you know, face-to-face. But that becomes a problem because,
mm-hmm.
because especially if it's someone, a boss, that you interact with, whether virtually or, you know, or in the office, you have to be willing to have real conversations with them and say what's on your mind to get things done.
Right.
But also just simple things like romance. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, I understand people, luckily I'm not in this situation where I have to be single out there, where you can get dumped by a text message, you know, or you have to figure out a text message. Well, what did that mean? What did he mean by that? What did she mean by that? You know, and ruminate on it. And she
That's actually not as bad as, you know, what happens to me, has happened to me years past. You know, it's just they just leave the country. Hey, Deborah, give us the website one more time, please.
DeborahFine.com, DeborahFine. Thanks for your patience with me today.
Hey, Deborah, you're a star. We're always glad to have you here. Thank you for being here.
For the holidays.
We'll see you next time. The book is called The Fine Art of Small Talk. Deborah Fine will be back, I promise. Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We're having a lot of fun here. Hope you are.
But no one can tell.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.